A new person that we've added to our list is a member of our church, been here the last several years. He's preached occasionally, but it's been a while, and we'd like to welcome Garrett Mercer to come and bring the word to us.
Morning, everyone.
Morning.
How are you? How are you?
Fantastic.
Good. How are you? How are you, Garrett? Thank you. Well, I have had a terrible week. How's that for a lead-in? Continue. Yeah, I'm going to rant for a little bit. So I have had a really hard week. Anybody that knows me, when things get a little bit stressful in my life, I just kind of fall apart. Okay? Can I get an amen from some people here? So I've got two birthdays that we just did a couple weeks ago, so now I have a three-year-old and a six-year-old. The three-year-old I know how to handle. I got a year of practice with that. The six-year-old we're learning. I've never had a six-year-old before, so there's a little bit of stress with that. New babies due in January. Yay! Except when I'm really already stressed up to here, it's like, can three baby seats fit in a car? We need a new car. I don't know. Speaking of cars, the car broke, needs new transmission, so we were out of car for a week. The house keeps, all these projects keep piling up. On top of that, some of you know, 6 years ago I had a back injury, so my back always hurts. A year ago I had a foot injury, so my foot always hurts. I know, some of you are thinking, well, I'm far worse than that. I could get up there and preach this sermon, right? Right? And if you're not far worse, you probably know somebody who is, or you've been there in your life. Things can get really, really tough. Well, things have been really, really tough for me. And I knew that a long time ago that I was to preach this sermon this morning. So, of course, I put it off a little bit. So Tuesday comes around and I start working on it and I get an email. Garrett, we need your PowerPoint slide done by Thursday afternoon. Well, I work Thursday, so that means it needs to be done by Wednesday night. And now it's Tuesday. So, you know, all of this going up, and then after I kind of finished it and cemented it, then it needed to be significantly shorter because I'm very long-winded when I have the stage. So, so why this long introduction? I know it's stressing me out. Anyway, so some of you have had this kind of really tough time in your lives. You've kind of gone through it. Some of you are there right now, and all of you know someone who's in it. And that's what this morning's message is really about. So we are continuing to plow through Timothy. We are in 2 Timothy chapter 3 now, verses 10 to 17. And the main thrust of this message, the main thing that Paul wants to tell Timothy is to continue in the faith. Paul wants Timothy to be equipped to do every work of God that God has assigned him to do, just like God wants to equip me and you to do everything that he's assigned you to do. And he wants you not only to be equipped to do it, but be able to continue to do it. So he's really encouraging him to continue. And then I kind of put in parentheses how to, because we're going to kind of, there's one really, really clear how to in here, and we're going to kind of wrestle out of the text another how to. Does that sound like a good plan? Okay. Now, because of my time constraints, what I'm going to do is, let's see if this is working. Okay, I'm going to read through the whole passage. I might give commentary on some verses. I'm going to make you two promises. There's two verses in here that we're going to dive into a much deeper than the other ones. There's plenty of good stuff in the other ones, so take the time this week and read it if you want. Open up a good commentary, but we're going to dive really deep into two. So we're going to see that as we go. Okay, so it starts with you, however. However just pits it against, if you remember a couple weeks ago, Duncan preached on how these false teachers are really causing Timothy a bunch of harm and frustration. And so Paul's putting himself up against false teachers. So false teachers are over there, and Paul's over here. So that's kind of the versus situation. So this is Paul's resume that he's reminding Timothy of. He says, you, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance. Can any of you say that to anybody you're mentoring? Watch me, because I have all these things. Right? Paul's able to because he's been through so much hardship that God has really trained him. He continues in his list, persecutions and sufferings. You, however, know all about my persecutions and my sufferings. What kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra? The persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. Now, unless your morning devotion was Acts 13 and 14 this morning, you probably don't have fresh in your mind what happened at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. I didn't check to see if it fell into the daily readings of Bible through a year this morning, but I'm guessing you don't. So that's going to be my first promise to you, is we're going to actually go into the book of Acts and see what happened to Paul at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, and how that illustration actually fits really well in this. So let's continue with our sermon here, our text. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. That's pretty heavy, huh? I was thinking about this as I was preparing, and I'm like, well, I'm not being persecuted, and I want to live a godly life. So we're going to get to that a little bit later, too, how that's true. While evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue. So here's right in the middle of that passage, the continue, the main point of the message. As for you, Timothy, continue in what you've learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. And how from infancy you've known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So here's the second promise. We're going to go back to this verse. You can't leave a verse like that alone. Right? That's a whole month in itself. So that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. How many of you want to be thoroughly equipped for every good work? Yeah, right? We all do. We all do. And when things get really, really stressful, what do we do to actually move forward, to continue to be equipped to do the things that God has called us to do? What are the things that I did while studying? This was the perfect passage for me to study this week. So what are the things that I did obeying this passage that gave me this incredible peaceful breakthrough at times to move forward with what God has asked me to do? So that's what we're going to go through. We're going to fulfill those two promises. We're going to look at what happened in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions and sufferings there, and how God rescued him from them. And then we're going to look a little bit at that verse 16. What does it mean that the Scriptures are God-breathed and useful to equip us for every good work? Does that sound like a good plan? Okay. So I drink a lot when I preach. It's just water, I promise. My wife reminded me to tell you guys that. But there's no, like... All right, we'll see how well that works. Maybe I'll close the tap. All right, so let's go over to what happens in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. Remember, the main point of why we're going here, as it's mentioned in the text, there's persecutions and sufferings that Paul went through there. He's reminding Timothy of them to remind Timothy that the Lord will rescue you out of them, okay? And we're going to see how the Lord rescues Paul out of these so that Timothy can be comforted so that he can continue to do what God has called him to do. At Antioch, so this is Acts 13, starting at verse 14. I didn't actually put the text up here because it's like a whole chapter. So basically, Paul goes to the synagogue at Antioch. The first place he always went was to the Jewish synagogue. He sits down, they read from the Old Testament, and then they say, "Paul, please stand up and give us a word of exhortation." And I can just see Paul saying, "Absolutely, thank you." So he stands up and gives this amazing blow-away sermon. You guys have to go back and read it on your own time. I'm going to summarize it. First thing he does, he summarizes 450 years of God interacting with his people. He talks about how they were in Egypt, and they prospered, had all this prosperity, so much so that the Pharaoh got freaked out and was like, "Oh no, we got to put them in slavery." And then how God rescued them, the great exodus from Egypt. Remember all the plagues and all that stuff? Then they spend 40 years in the wilderness because they misbehaved. I call that the 40-year timeout, okay? A few of them got to go into the promised land. They overthrew seven nations to gain the promised land in Canaan. Then Paul's talking about how then came the time of judges, and then came Samuel the prophet. And then the people asked for a king, and they got their first king, King Saul. And then he misbehaved, and so they got their second king, King David. And he misbehaved, but God forgave him anyway. And through David's lineage was Jesus born. That's where Paul's going. The whole Old Testament points to and glorifies Jesus Christ. And that's what he's teaching these Jewish people. This is his sermon. Before Jesus came, don't worry, Elijah came, John the Baptist came in the spirit of Elijah, so that's all fulfilled. Then Jesus came, but the Jewish rulers didn't accept it, they didn't recognize it, so they crucified him, he died, but don't worry, that's all written about in the Old Testament too. He rose again, which is also written about in the Old Testament, so that our sins could be forgiven. I wish I was there for the sermon. I'm glad that Luke wrote it down in Acts for us. Here's what he says. Therefore, my friends, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. I want you to know that this morning, too. Through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is set free from every sin, a justification you were not able to obtain under the law of Moses. Something greater has come than the law of Moses. Don't get so stuck on the law of Moses. Look to where it points. It's all pointing to what happened with Jesus. And that's the sermon he gives. So what happens to the crowd? They get so excited about this sermon and about everything that's happening that the whole city shows up next week. And he's asked to speak again. When the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy. So that's a whole other thing, but they're filled with jealousy. They begin to contradict what Paul was saying and heaped abuse on him. Remember in our passage this morning, evildoers will continue being deceived and deceiving others. They'll go from bad to worse. This is an example of that. He's giving us examples. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord, and all who were appointed for eternal life believed. Now, I skipped three verses in between 45 and 48 there. Basically, when the Jews became jealous, they stopped hearing Paul. Paul basically said, if you don't really want to listen to me, I don't have to talk to you. So he went and talked to the Gentiles, and they received it. They received it. And all who were appointed for eternal life believed. So you have this massive number of people that come to faith through Paul's ministry. And the word of the Lord spread through the whole region. But there's a little bit of strife happening here, right? It's a lot of ministry success, but there's some people here that are starting to plant seeds. The Jewish leaders incited the God-fearing women of high standing and the leading men of the city. They stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. So this is the whole point. This is why Paul was pointing Timothy to this passage in Antioch. The persecutions and the sufferings that I endured, but the Lord rescued me out of them all. How did the Lord rescue Paul out of these persecutions? He walked out of the city. So they shook the dust off their feet as a warning sign to them and went to Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. So the Lord rescued them out of the persecutions and sufferings by them being able to walk out. Okay, so now they're on their way to Iconium. So that's Antioch. Paul mentions to Timothy, remember what happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra? So now we're walking to Iconium. Let's see what happens in Iconium. At Iconium, Paul and Barnabas went, as usual, into the Jewish synagogue. Now, in the last place, he's like, Jews, you don't want to listen to me. I'll talk to the Gentiles. He's not carrying that with him as a grub against them in his heart. He's going to preach to them again. These are God's people, and he wants to show them how everything they believe points to Christ. So he goes, and as they spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Greeks believed. Again, huge ministry success, right? So things are stirring again. Things are happening. But the Jews who refused to believe stirred up the other Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the believers. Notice the wording here. This sounds a lot like what Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3. Evildoers and imposters or deceivers will go from bad to worse, deceived themselves and deceiving others. Here they're poisoning the minds of other people. So Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there. Here they didn't just leave right away. They spent considerable time, right? They're willing to work through it. They're willing to continue through this to do what God's asked them to do. They spoke boldly for the Lord, who confirmed the message of his grace by enabling them to perform signs and wonders. Whoa. Okay, so things just got a little bit deeper. Now they're doing miracles. It doesn't tell us what. It'll tell us what they do in Lystra in a minute. But now they're doing miracles. And we know from reading the Gospels, from what Christ did, that just because you do a miracle doesn't mean people believe what you say. That's the point of the miracles, though. The people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews and others with the apostles. There was a plot afoot among both Gentiles and Jews together with their leaders to mistreat them and stone them. So now the ministry success has gotten so wild that God's granted the apostles to do signs and wonders. People are believing. The city's divided. The whole city is divided. It's the only talk of the town. And the people that are against him think, we know how to solve this. We'll just stone him. So now his life is being threatened. All right, this is far beyond my parenting troubles and car troubles and sermon troubles. Right? No one's called me up and said, half the city wants to stone you. Yet. If that day comes, I'll look up this sermon and see how to get through it. So, persecutions and sufferings have now gone up a level. How does the Lord rescue them out of these persecutions and sufferings? In Antioch, they walked out. What happens here in Iconium? They found out about it and fled. So they walk out of one persecution and suffering. They fled out of this one. They fled to the Laconian cities of Lystra and Derbe and to the surrounding country. So they got out of there. I would too. So now they're on their way, and they continued to preach the gospel. It didn't silence them. Notice the word continue. That's the whole point of what Paul is pushing on Timothy. Even though things stir up, continue to do the work that God has called you to do. We'll get to the how-to in a minute. Continue to do it, and here's an example. Here's my resume. Here's what we did. Timothy wasn't with Paul. This is during his first missionary journey. In Lystra. Okay, so now we're in Lystra. Antioch, they walked out. Iconium, they were able to do signs and wonders, and lots of people were believing. The whole city divided. They plot afoot to stone them. They fled out. They snuck out. So now we're in Lystra. In Lystra, there sat a man who was lame. He'd been that way from birth and never walked. Now, I had a foot injury a year ago. Some of you remember me saying that. I was on crutches, at times in a wheelchair, and I at least had the hope of being able to walk again. But here's a man who didn't have any hope. He'd been born this way, had never walked, and he's listening to what's happening. He's sitting in this crowd. Maybe he heard what happened at Antioch, that signs and wonders were being done. Maybe he didn't, but here's what happens. He listened to Paul, and as Paul was speaking, Paul looked directly at him, saw that he had faith to be healed, and called out, "Stand up on your feet." At that, the man jumped up and began to walk. Now, I've watched two kids go from baby to walking. There's a lot of brain stuff that needs to happen in there. This guy got to skip it all. He went from nothing to walking, right? Astounding miracle. Not only was the hardware fixed, but all the software was fixed. You IT people might know what I'm talking about. The rest of you don't have a clue. That's okay. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in the Laconian language, "Praise Jesus?" No, the gods have come down to us in human form. Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes because he was their chief speaker. The priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought bulls and wreaths to the city gates because he heard the crowds and they wanted to offer sacrifices to them. Now, I can only imagine that Paul and Barnabas are thinking, okay, let's spend considerable amount of time here like we did in Iconium. Let's help correct them. Let's give them categories in their mind to help them think about what the difference is between a Jewish framework with the Old Testament, God interacting with his people, and what that means that Jesus came for the Jews first and the Gentiles, that God is here to serve everyone, that everyone who believes can be forgiven of every sin in the name of Christ. So they want to spend considerable time here. Well, what happens? Paul basically says, this is my summary of what he says back to them, "No! Stop it! Don't worship us! We're not gods, we're men just like you. We just have a message for you. And God's given us the abilities to do this amazing miracle to get this man to stand because we have a message for you. And God's obviously going to do an amazing work here because he just healed a man. That's evidence." Well, what happens? Even with these words, they had difficulty keeping the crowd from sacrificing to them. So again, they have to spend some time with these people to get them to understand. Very next verse. "Then some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowd over." They don't have time. Remember what happened at Antioch and Iconium? I hope. Right? They walked out of the persecutions and sufferings from one. They fled out of the persecutions and sufferings from the next city. Although great numbers of believers in both cities came, but they're out of there. Now they're in Lystra. Similar things are happening. The crowds are being divided. But here they're won over because the Jews didn't stay where they were. They followed them. And they came to Lystra after him. They stoned Paul. They actually carried through. They stoned Paul, dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead. So how did the Lord rescue Paul from the persecutions and sufferings at Lystra? The Lord rescued him by him being dragged unconscious out of the city with innumerable bruises and lacerations to his body that caused him who knows how much pain afterwards. You have a category in your head to think that way? That could be the way the Lord rescues you? The way that the Lord equips you to do every good work so that you can continue doing what you need to do, even amongst the stress in your life. You got to have a category for that because it's in Scripture. This is the point of why Paul is writing to Timothy. Continue in what's going on. Evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse. Anyone who desires to live a godly life will be persecuted. Why? Because if you open your mouth about Jesus, someone's going to get offended. In my life, when no one is on me for my faith, it's because I'm quiet. If I stay quiet at work, nobody's offended by the gospel. If I open my mouth, I get a meeting with my boss. Right? So you got to try to figure out ways to love people and share truth with them. But we have kind of two options. We can stay silent and avoid all the persecutions and sufferings, or we can want to live a godly life, obey what God tells us to do, and share this with other people. And it will cause strife. And the Lord will rescue you out of it, even if it's you walking out, fleeing out, or being dragged unconscious out. After the disciples had gathered around him, he got up. How many of you would go back to the city? He got up and went back into the city, kind of like, no, God's got my back. I'm going to continue. Timothy, remember what happened to me in Lystra. I went back. Now, some of you might be in a very hurting place and you need to be loved on in time to heal. So don't just take this as your own personal. You got to go back into a very difficult, hurtful situation. Paul did, though. Paul did. This was his calling. He didn't just go back to Lystra. After a quick trip to another city, he went back to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. He went back to all three cities. Why? To continue to do the work that God had equipped him to do, which was what? Strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. "We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God," they said. Now, could they have preached that message if all they did was walk out of one city and flee out of another? Go back to encourage them and tell them the story? Oh, it gets so hard to enter the kingdom of God. No. But you'd listen to a man that was stoned unconscious and dragged outside of a city, got back up and went back in there to love God's people. I pray that you would, because he's talking to you now. Through many hardships. But the Lord will equip us to do it, and he'll give us the tools to continue to do it. as he did for Paul and as he did for Timothy. Remember, this whole point of why I went this way is because Paul's telling Timothy the persecutions and sufferings, remember them, Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, but the Lord rescued me from them all. And if you have that thought, how is that being rescued? I really want you to wrestle with that. The Lord rescued him from those three cities. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. When you see great ministry success, there will be people there who are offended and who will push back to maybe give you death threats and maybe carry them out. While evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, namely his grandma and his mom. We learned about that a couple months back, and from Paul. Learned what? What's that it? How from infancy you've known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. My second promise to you was to go through this verse. I'm going to do it really briefly, just so you can see how I did this. Okay, all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. There's two categories here. How can the scripture help us? And by the way, Paul's talking about the Old Testament here. The New Testament is not excluded from this truth, but he's specifically talking about how the Old Testament can help you do these things. There's right thinking here involved. It's thinking truly and behaving truly. So those are the two categories. How to think true, how to see reality as truth, and how to behave rightly. So all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching. That's kind of the feel-good aspect of true thinking. When you don't know something and you're taught something, that kind of feels good. The thing that doesn't feel good is when you're rebuked. That's when you are thinking something wrong and somebody corrects you. And scripture can do that. That's the rub that people are evil people and deceived people and people like me, people like anybody, when we're reading our Bibles and God convicts us of something that we're believing is true and it's not, and this is truth, we kind of have to wrestle with this with humility before God, is being rebuked. But that's kind of in that category. And then the feel-good, right behaving is when you don't know how to behave and someone trains you how to behave properly. That's not so bad. But the kind of negative feel of this is when you're corrected, when you're behaving wrongly and somebody tells you. Nobody likes that, right? So there's the kind of format, in a sense, to read through this. All scripture is God-breathed, meaning it's from God, it's his word to us, and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So in our how-to format, how do we continue to do what God has equipped us to do? Scripture. Okay, scripture is what formats us. Scripture is what makes us listen to someone who's preaching God's word and someone who's preaching something else. All right, scripture is kind of the filter that we pour everything and all of our experience of life into, shift it out of the Bible, and see what comes out as truth. What does the Bible say is true? So kind of summarizing everything, continue in the faith when hardships arise. That's the main push of this sermon, of this passage. First, we have to hear the good news, and we got a little bit of that when Paul preached at Antioch. Repent, be forgiven, and enter the faith. Again, we saw that in the first two cities, Antioch and Iconium. Learn the faith and live the faith. Paul gave us a really good example of this. Continue in the faith when hardships arise. The Lord will rescue them, rescue you from them all. Could be that you walk out, it could be that you flee out, it could be that you're dragged unconscious out. We have the Bible to help us think and behave right. And then here's the one I kind of wrestled out of the text. This text tells us that Timothy knew his Bible, right? And then he's telling him that the Bible can help you. But Timothy knew his Bible. So where's the help here? The help is that there is a godly man, Paul, encouraging him, writing him a letter. Timothy knows this, but he needed to be encouraged by it. So here's what I did this week. When I was so stressed out of my mind and everything's going crazy, I reached out to godly people in my life, I reached out to my elder of this church and asked him for help. And what did he do? He encouraged me. And through his encouragement, God gave me the ability, the how to, continue to do what God had asked me to do. You can't defeat Satan with just yourself and your Bible. You need a community of believers. Perfect timing for the ministry fair. That's not part of the plug, but you need people, you need other believers in your life to encourage you, even if you know your Bible. You have to know your Bible, but you need other people in your life. So find some teachers and preachers that can love on you. And then repeat, continue to learn the faith, continue when hardships arise, and use the Bible to help you think and behave right. So that's my encouragement to you this morning. I think that that's Paul's encouragement to Timothy. I think this is God's encouragement to you this morning. If things are heating up in your life, read your Bible, get in your Bible, get trained, and find someone that can encourage you. Maybe even you're in a place that even though you're in a hardship, you can go and encourage somebody else. You can continue to do what God's called you to do as you love on other people. Let's pray.